خانم نگاه کن الاخ دوست خاصی من کالا من دیگر خاصی نه a beautiful khasana, a chuppah, and a nice uda, and dancing and singing. And everyone was so happy for the khasana and kala, that by every Yiddish wedding, it's such a big simcha, that the neshama comes together after being in Gan Eden. And it's binyan abe ad, the beginning of a Jewish family, a mishpacha, and kinelach, with Hashem's help. And usually after a year or two, sometimes more, the kala becomes a mommy, because she gets a baby. A girl or a boy, a mazel tov, a bris, or a kiddush, a yingala or a meidala. But this woman, kinalach, this kala, was not so lucky. Because after a year or two, no baby. And after three or four, no baby. And after five, and after seven, and after 10 years, her friends had babies. They had families already with a few kinalach, even big mishpachis. And she still had no baby. She felt so sad. She wanted so much to have a baby. And somebody said to her, there's a Halakha tzaddik named the Baal Shem Tov. And he is very close to Hashem, and Hashem's bracha is that which you need to get a baby. Go to the Baal Shem Tov and ask him for a bracha for a baby. And so, Kinalach, the woman went to the Halakha Baal Shem Tov, and she cried that she's married for such a long time and she doesn't have a baby. She would love to have a little baby to take care of and to hold and to bring up as an Erlach HaYid. So the Baal Shem Tov gave her a bracha. He says, with Hashem's help, next year you're going to have a baby boy. But make very sure to bring him to me when he's born so I can give him a bracha also. Oh, the woman was so excited. And sure enough, just like Baal Shem Tov said, it says by a tzaddik when he's gozer, when a tzaddik says something is going to be, Hashem is mekayim. Hashem makes it happen. And after a year, she had a little baby boy. She was so happy. And kinalach, she brought the baby to the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov gave the baby a bracha. The Baal Shem Tov said, when the baby stops nursing around 2 years old, bring the baby again for a bracha. Oh, such a lucky woman am I, and such a lucky baby, to have all these brachas from the Baal Shem Tov. And she nursed the little baby for 2 years. And when the baby started to eat regular food and stopped nursing, she brought the baby back to the Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov put his hand on the baby and gave a bracha to the baby. And the woman took the baby home. And soon after that, the baby got very sick. Hi, my baby. My poor little baby is so sick, such a high fever. And she took the baby to the doctor. And the doctor gave the baby medicine. And the baby got sicker. And the doctor was very worried. He says, something is very wrong with this baby. And soon after that, the baby died. The woman couldn't believe it. Here the baby came with a bracha from the Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov himself gave brachas to the baby. And now the baby is dead. Oh, this is too much to take. And she went crying to the Baal Shem Tov. And she told the Baal Shem Tov what happened. And then the Baal Shem Tov says to the woman, sit down and I'm going to tell you a long story. And this is going to help your feelings now. And the woman sat down wondering, what is the Baal Shem Tov going to tell her? And the Baal Shem Tov started this story. As soon as it's quiet, you're going to hear the story that the Baal Shem Tov told the woman. A story inside of a story. Who is ready? The Baal Shem Tov said, a long time ago, there was a Yiddish town. The Yiddish town was the part of a city, it was a Yiddish neighborhood, it was a part of a big city, and this whole city was owned by a poet. Like I told you, in those days, the poet was like a king over a big area. And he could do whatever he wanted in that area. Because the king of the whole country, he was happy that the poets, all the different priests, gave the king money, and they did what the king wanted. So he let them be like little kings, as long as they listened to the big king. And they took care of their cities and their towns, and they owned the lakes, and they owned the forests, and they owned the houses, and they owned everything. And whoever lived in their city had to pay them money for rent, and they had to do whatever the poet said. And if the poet was good, he took care of them. And if he was not good and he got angry, he could punish them and do whatever he wanted. And the big king didn't care. He let the poets do what he wants. Especially to the Jews. Many times the poets would get very angry on the Jews, charge them a lot of money, and if they would not pay the poets, he would get them in big trouble. Many, many stories about Pritzim, poets of that time. And so there was a particular poet who owned this particular city that we're talking about. And this poet had no children. He and his wife didn't have any babies. And every day the poet's wife would cry, I want a baby! I want a baby! And the poet said, I want a baby also. What can we do? We have to have a baby, but if we don't have one, what can we do? And one day the poet was driving in his wagon together with one of his officers. And he was saying to the officer, every day my wife says I want a baby. I also want a baby. What can we do? And the officer said, there's only one way that you and your wife can get a baby. And that's if the Jews in your city, in your town, are going to do something to help you. Because the Jews have the power to do things like that, to make things happen, to change things, and to do special things. The Jews have this power. All the poets said, well, I mean, what do they do? And the officer says, the Jews have to pray to their God, to Hashem, because they're always going to the shul 3 times a day, and they're always davening to Hashem, and they believe in Hashem. And Hashem is the one who can give you and your wife a baby. This is what the officer said. And the poet said, well, if that's so, I'm going to be very nice to the Jews. I'm going to not charge them so much rent. I'll fix their houses. I'll fix their broken windows. I'll do a lot of things to make them happy. And maybe the next time they go to shul, because they're going to thank me and be so happy, they'll daven that my wife and I should have a baby. And we'll get a baby. That's a good idea. But this officer was a little bit too smart and a little bit too tricky, and he didn't like Jews either. And he said to the poets, there's a much better and quicker way to get the Jews to help you get a baby. The poet said, what? He says, make a decree, make a law, that if in 1 year you and your wife do not have a baby, you will throw every Jew out from his house, from your city, from all the towns, from all the neighborhoods. You'll take away their stores. You'll take away all of their things, and they'll have to go out from their homes and wander around. And if they don't leave their home, and you say, you will send your soldiers and you will kill them all. That way you'll make sure that the Jews die into you for you to have a baby. Because the other way, who knows, maybe they're not going to die so hard. Boy, this way, when they hear your decree, your gzeirah, they are really going to die. And so the prophets listened to his officer. And he went home and he wrote up a law that said, every Jew in my place has exactly 1 year to make sure that my wife and I have a baby, and if not, you will either leave or die. And the officers of the pirates took the laws around and put it up in the marketplaces and in the streets and in all the Jewish neighborhoods, and all the Yidden read it. They got very afraid. And they went to the shuls, and they made meetings, and they davened, and they said Tehillim, and they fasted, and they gave tzedakah, because they did not want this to happen. And they asked Hashem to give the poets and his wife a baby, so the poets would not be angry on them and not be so mean to them. And all the davening of the Yidden went up into the himmel, and it went to Hashem. The Malachim brought so much davening up to Hashem. And all the Malachim came to see what's going to happen. Is Hashem going to give the poet and his wife a baby or not? And if not, what is going to happen, Chas Shalom, to the Yidden? So many Yidden, so many hundreds of families in all the Kimbalach. And so Hashem called out to the Neshonis, because we learn that up in the Himmel are all of the Neshonis of all the people that were not born yet, and the people also that were born and lived their whole life, and the Neshonis came back to Hashem. It's called the Otsar HaNeshonis, the treasure house of the Neshonis. And also in Gan Eden Neshonis. And Hashem called out, I need a volunteer. I need a Neshama that will go down to save the Jewish people. And the Neshamas were listening to Hashem. And Hashem said, I warn you, this is going to be very difficult, a very big Maseiras Nefesh, because the Jew, the Neshama who goes down to save the Jews, the Neshama that goes down has to be the child of Goyim, of a Goyish poet and his wife. He'll be brought up in a Goyish house. And the Neshamas listened to Hashem quietly. And one Neshama stepped forth, stepped in front of Hashem, came up and said, I will volunteer to do it, because I realize what a great schus it will be to save so many Jews. I volunteer to go down to be born to the poets and his wife. And so Hashem took that Neshama and he brought it down into the world and put it inside of the poet's wife. And she saw after a while, after a few weeks, that she's expecting a baby. Ah, look, look, my stomach, it's getting bigger. I'm going to have a baby. And sure enough, the poet saw, yes, his wife is going to have a baby. And within the year, a baby baby boy was born to the parson's wife, and they were so happy. And the gezeirah, the law, did not come upon the Jewish people, and the Jewish people were thankful to Hashem that He saved them, and the woman had a baby. And now, this little baby was being brought up in the parson's goyish castle, eating the food from the parson's table, wearing the clothes that the parson's wife gave him, fancy schmancy little clothes, and playing with the other goyish kids, and also going to the goyish school. Now, in the parson's castle, he had his own school for his own child, and officers, certain officers, and their children, they went to the school. Because the parents only wanted his child to play with special children. And they dressed up fancy, and they had the best teachers. And this little child, when he started going to school, became so smart. Whatever the teacher would teach, he would learn right away. Until after a while, he knew as much as the teacher. And after a while, he became smarter than his teacher. And the teacher didn't know more things to teach him, because the child knew more than the teacher already. And every day when the child came back from the school, he went to his father, the poet, and said, "Daddy, I'm so bored in the school. I know everything. I don't like learning all these things. It's just so boring. I'm always very sad and nervous because, I mean, I don't know what I'm learning. It's not interesting either. And it's so easy." And the poet said, "Well, I'll get you better teachers." And he taught him math, all about numbers, arithmetic. And the child learned all the math until he knew more than the teachers. And he says, "Oh, no math already. This is boring." Well, he taught him this and he taught him that. Everything he taught him. And the child was getting very sad and always very upset. And the poet was worried. There must be something this child can learn and be happy at learning. Well, the poet said, one thing the child did not learn yet, and that's all about church. I'm going to go to a galach. I'll find a very good galach from a big church. I'll invite him to the castle. He'll live here, and every day he'll teach my child all about church and all about the things in the church and the getchkes. And maybe the child will like that. Maybe that would be interesting." And so the galach, I mean, so the parents went to the big church, and he talks to the galach. And he says, "Please, I invite you to my castle to come and live, and you teach my little boy every day all about church. He's always so sad and so upset, and everything is so easy for him, and he knows more than his teachers. I'm sure you, galach, you're a very great galach, and I'm sure you know a lot, and I'm sure my son will be interested to learn all about the church and all about the getchkes." And the galach said, "Poets, I will come and do what you say. After all, you're the poets of the whole city and the whole place over here. But I'm asking you one favor. And you must please do this one favor for me, and then I will come. Otherwise, I will not be able to come." The poet said, "What is your favor?" And the galach said, "Every day in the morning for 2 hours, I must have the door locked of my room, and no one is to disturb me for those 2 hours. No one is to come into my room, not even you. I must be all by myself for 2 hours in the morning." And the poet said, "What do you do in those 2 hours?" And the poet, and the galach said, "That is my secret. I have to go up into the heavens, up into the sky, up into the shemayim, and no one is allowed to be with me. I have to do special things. I go up into the sky for 2 hours a day."
Oh, the poet said, then I will respect you, and for those 2 hours, I'll make sure that nobody goes into your room. And so, the Goloth came to live in the castle, and every day, the little boy, the poet's son, went to learn with the Goloth, all about church, all about everything. And when he came back to his daddy, he said, Daddy, I don't like to learn all those things. I don't want to learn all about church and Getchkes. That's worse than everything. I don't want the Goloth to be here in the castle. I don't want to learn this either. There's nothing I want to learn. It's all so boring. It's not interesting to me. Well, just try it for a little longer, and maybe you'll see it'll get better. Every morning, the little boy came early in the morning to learn, and then every day the Goloth said, now you have to leave, and you go play for 2 hours, and then you come back. And he locked the door. And the little boy said to the Goloth, why do you lock the door every day for 2 hours? And why you don't let anybody in your room? And why my daddy said that nobody is allowed to go in your room for those 2 hours? Well, the Goloth said, I have a little secret, and nobody's allowed to look. I go up into the sky, and nobody's allowed to see me, and I do special things up there. Well, the little boy thought about that. He thought about that when he was in bed. He thought about that when he was walking in the gardens. He used to think, what goes on in the room that he goes up to the sky and nobody's allowed to look? I wonder what that looks like. I'm so curious to find out. I wish I could be in his room for those 2 hours. And one day, the little boy decided he's going to sneak into the room and he's going to watch what the Goloth does. He's got to find out what it looks like. He's so curious. He must find out. And the next day, when it came time to leave the room, he pretended to leave the room. And as the Goloth was about to close the door, there was some noise outside. And the Goloth happened to look around out the window, and the little boy sneaked back into the room, and he ran behind the curtains, and he hid. And the Goloth closed the door, and he locked it. Oh, the little boy was so excited. I'm in the room, and I get to watch. I'll peek out from the curtains, and I'll watch the Goloth, and I'll see what he does. And the Goloth very quickly went over to his table. And over there he had his little suitcase. And the little boy watched the Goloth as he opened up the suitcase, and he took out a big blue bag with a zipper. And on the bag was some kind of gold writing, very strange letters. Oh, I wonder what that is. I wonder what's in the bag. Maybe it's some kind of a magic bag. And from that bag he takes out things and goes up in the sky. Let's see what it is. He opened up the bag. He took out something that looked like a big white tablecloth with strings coming out of it. And it had stripes. He took this big white tablecloth and he threw it and he unfolded it as he was holding the ends. And he kissed it a few times. Oh, I wonder what he's doing. He took off the salmon from his neck and he threw it on the floor. Oh, look at the Goloth. He took off his salmon and he's throwing it on the floor. And he took off his special hat. And under that was a little black hat that just covered the top of the Goloth's head. Hey, look at that little funny hat that he's got on his head. I never saw that before. He always wore his big Goloth hat. He put this white tablecloth over his head and he started to swing back and forth for a minute. And then he arranged it on his shoulders, covering his head. Then he reached back in the blue bag, and he took out a smaller blue bag, also with funny letters on it. Hey, look at that! So many bags! And he took out a black box with a strap. And he rolled up his sleeve, and he put it on his arm. And he started to say something. Hey! The kid's thinking, who's he talking to? He's talking to somebody. I don't see anybody in the room. And then he started to wrap these straps around his arm 7 times. And then he took out another black box and he put it on his head. And then he made some more straps on his fingers. What's going on? What is this? And then he took out some money from his pocket and he put it into a little can that he had in his briefcase. Then he took out a book and he started to say a bunch of words and even singing, and he was going back and forth. The little boy said, who's he talking to the whole time? He keeps talking to himself. What's going on? And he watched the galach. Every once in a while he took the strings and he kissed them. Why is he kissing those strings? What's going on? And part of the time he's sitting down, and part of the time he's standing, and part of the time he's taking steps back and he's taking steps forward, he's bowing down. What's going on? And then he bows down and he spit. Why did he spit on the floor? What's going on? And then he took off his black boxes. He put them away. He took out another bag with more black boxes and he put them on. Hey! Different black boxes. And he put on, again, on his head, the black box. And when he was done with all the black boxes, putting them away, he took out a smaller book and he started saying more words. Then he reached back into his suitcase and he took out a very big book and he sat down and he started to talk to himself, going like this with his thumb and going like that with his thumb. And the boy was watching the whole time, and when the whole thing was through, he put everything away, he put back on his galach hat, and he picked up his tzitzit from the floor, put it back around his neck, and he put everything away, and he went to the door and he called the boy. Come into the room, it's time to learn. And the boy wasn't there. The boy was behind the curtains still. The boy was so curious to find out what the galach was doing. This is the first time in his life he felt curious about something. He felt interested in something. Because every other time it was just so boring, numbers and this and that, and this general and that general. Now he was so curious. What were those books? What were those strings? What were those boxes? What was that can? What was all those things? What was he saying? What are those funny gold letters? Shh. And the little boy decided that he was going to come out from the curtains and tell the galach that he saw, and he's curious, he wants to find out what the whole thing was.